clearing out that that land on the side of the church. And he's out there working, and they're asking him, he's a contractor, and asking him if he come over and do theirs and stuff like that. He's getting an opportunity to witness. But pray for this one. Yesterday, he had a gentleman come up who has a trucking company, and he hauls off topsoil from Northside's Independent School District's practice football fields. And he basically says, if we write a letter, we can have some. And we could put it out there and get rid of the rocks and maybe put out some good stuff. God provides. Just keep on praying. And I just, once again, thank Ricky and everybody's been helping out. Been going back and looking at the fellowship. Paul Louise is doing a wonderful job back there, making it a kid-friendly place. And I'm just excited for things that are happening. But people that's in the world, when the seven bowl judgments or the seven vial judgments, will not be happy at all. And we're going to do Revelation chapter 16 tonight. Last week, we covered Revelation chapter 15, which was an introduction to the seven vial or the seven bowl judgments. And in verses 1 and 2, there was another sign in heaven. And John seeing these miraculous signs. This is the second one. He sees the seven angels being prepared to pour out these vials of God's wrath on the earth. He sees the multitude of tribulation saints having harps standing before the throne of God on a sea of glass that looks like fire because they've overcome everything that's satanic. And folks, we can have the victory through Jesus Christ. We can have the victory if we have faith in Him. And if these having victory over, we can do the same thing. And so, do we have victory over Satan? That's something that we should ask ourselves. We need to have victory, but it can only come through Christ. And it can only come by faith. When he sees the multitude of tribulation saints standing on Mount Zion with Jesus, there's songs of redemption. There's two songs. There's the song of Moses. It's the one that they sang after God delivered them from the Red Sea. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. But then there's a song that Jesus gives them that only they can sing. Jesus saves us individually. He gives us each a unique gift and a unique purpose and a unique song so we can glorify Him. I can't sing your song. I can't live your testimony. You can't do mine. But together we can sing to Christ. And together as a body we can worship Him and we can glorify Him, which we're supposed to do. And so there's a second song to the Lamb. In verses 5 through 6, there's another view of the temple. The temple has come into view starting in Revelation chapter 11. And people are seeing, John's seeing this, and he's seeing the activity that's going on around. All the stuff that's now coming down on earth is coming from the temple. It contains, when he sees it this time, it contains the testimony of God, which is the law, and also the new covenant. It also contains the judgment of God. And we need to understand that what the Jews, what the Hebrews built in the wilderness was a replica of what's in heaven. We're going to see this temple one day when we get there. Because it's still there. Nothing in heaven will. It's eternal. It's going to stay there. And then there's another set of judgment coming. There's a picture. One of the four creatures that stand before the throne, honoring God and glorifying Him. And we've heard the song in Revelation chapter 5. Gives these vials or these bowls to the seven angels. And the perspective that we have to have here is that God's mercy has run out. And where mercy runs out, judgment begins. And that ties us into Revelation chapter 16. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, which is what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 is. God, and everybody said, well, that's unfair. God shouldn't punish us. He's love. He's righteous. He's just. If he didn't do this, he wouldn't be God. And as much as he's merciful, he's also just and righteous. No one in their sinful nature can stand before God and live. We all have to be changed. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So tonight, this is a chapter that doesn't need much interpretation, because it clearly spells out what these judgments do. So these are the seven last judgments that God throws down on the earth before Christ returns. And the thing that we need to understand, that once God starts to judge, his judgment is relentless. It's relentless and it is final. When God passes judgment, that's it. It doesn't get changed because he changes not. So, in verse 1 of chapter 16, we see the commandment from God. And it says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the wrath, the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Who is the voice? God. Because God is in his holy temple. God has given mankind second chance, third chance. He's given them millennium to get right with him. He's made a way through his son that you don't have to go through that judgment. But he says, time's up. Time's up. This is in the last half of the tribulation. And it's interesting here that there's actually two temples here. There's the temple that's down on earth where the Jews rebuild it. And then in the middle of it, according to the Daniel prophecies, the Antichrist comes in and sets himself up as God and does the abomination of desolation. And then after this, then these judgments start really happening. So you have the temple that Satan is now set up, or actually has stolen, because he doesn't do anything on his own. He's just a thief and a liar. So he sets up worship down here, which is false worship. And up in heaven, where there's the temple, that's true worship. And that's where God sits. He's not on earth in the temple. That's the wrong God. And there's a choice. There's a choice. And as far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far separated the choice is. You can either follow God, or you can follow Satan. One of the two things. And people are going to pay for the wrong choice. Now, as we go through these judgments, these vile judgments, there are several in here that are just like the 10 plagues that plagued Egypt. These are the ones that we will see tonight. Water turned into blood. That's going to happen in two places. There's going to be boils, and that's going to happen worldwide. It's not just, you know, there's a big issue about measles and an outbreak. These things are going to be worldwide. Worldwide pestilence, worldwide blood, worldwide heat, okay? And then darkness, worldwide darkness, and then hail and fire. So in verses 2 through 21, we see the consequences of these judgments. In verse 2, we see the first vial, that men are smitten with sores. And the Bible says this, and the first went, the first what? The first angel commanded by who? God, to go his way over all the earth and pour out the judgment of the wrath of God. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore. Those are pretty big adjectives. But they pale in comparison to what's going on here. The word for sore is the exact same word used in Exodus to talk about the boils that broke out on the people, the Egyptians. It's the exact same word that's used to talk about the sores that Job had. And we studied the book of Job and these open, running sores. Okay? It's uck. Okay, if I could get you to yuck tonight, that'll motivate us to go out and win the loss for Christ. And also be thankful that we don't go through this. But it's only on the ones who chose Satan. It says, upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Remember the tribulation saints? They had gotten victory over the beast and his image and the number of his name and the mark. They'd gotten victory over there. They're getting judgment for following the false god. Yuck. And I went out on the internet trying to find some things to kind of get this in our mind. Folks, we have a choice. You can choose God or you reject God. You are either of your Father in heaven or your father of the devil. One of two things. It's black and white. There is no in between. Don't try to be in the middle ground. It doesn't work. So everybody that received the mark of the beast, everybody that worshiped the image of the beast, gets this. And just think of smallpox or leprosy or things on an ugly scale. And they never stops. This is just the start. Understand while all these other things are going on, they're suffering with these sores. And there's no relief. Because the judgment of God is relentless and final. The issue is that even going through this, they still won't acknowledge God. It's amazing. It's amazing. The second vial, the seas are smitten. Now we've seen in the seal judgments that a third of the seas were smitten and the fish died and the ships were destroyed and everything this. But this is over all the earth. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea and it became as the blood. And here's the description of the blood. Of a dead man. A dead man's blood is like jelly. Okay? It's you know, when you cut yourself and you bleed, you do that, but then what happens? It clots up. So the description here, it's just not blood that's liquid and everything else. This is congealed, jellified, yuck. Okay? And it goes into, and you're learning how to be a mortician. You're going to see a lot of that. But here's the deal. It can't carry oxygen. It can't carry any sort of nutrition. Anything in the sea is going to do what? Die. And then it's going to rot and decay. And the smell of this. Remember when the frogs came into Egypt? The smell just drove everybody nuts. Okay, the Egyptians nuts. Okay? And every living soul died in the sea. Yikes. You know, we see these things on the news about these fish kills due to red tide. They say, well, it's just a red tide. No, it's not. It's not a red tide. It becomes as blood as a dead man. You know, the same God that changes the water into wine can change water into blood. Amen. At the sound of his, at the spoken word. So that's number two. But remember, there's sores going on. And now this happens. Well, they still have fresh water. No, they don't. No, they don't. Because see, with God's judgment is relentless. God's judgment is final. And everything that's happening here, anything that can provide them sustenance and comfort, because another one's coming where they're going to love to have water and they're not going to have any, is going to be the third vial. So in verses 4 through 7, it says here, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, or springs. Okay? So rivers can initiate from a lake, or can initiate from a spring. You know, or aquifer. The San Antonio River comes out of a set of springs. So the source of the water turns into blood. The exact same blood. Okay? And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord. And here we see this phrase that's been used to talk about God all the way from chapter 1, who is, who was, and is to come, right? It says, O Lord, which art, okay, which is past, and was, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Why is it blood? Because Christ says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Remember, we've seen the souls of those beheaded or slain for the cause of Christ under the altar. And what was their prayer in the earlier chat in the earth? How long will it be? How long will it be till you avenge us of this? This is it. This is it. Old Testament law, blood for blood, life for life. For they have shed, and here's the reason, gives us right here. It says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Remember the two prophets, they're killed. Remember the 144,000, some of them will be killed. The saints, they're the ones that believe, and they will refuse to hear, get the mark of the beast. It says, for thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Who's given blood to drink? The people on the earth. The people who did this. The ones who followed the Antichrist. The ones who followed Satan. Their judgment is going to be just what they did to others. And I heard another voice, another out of the altar. Remember where all these saints are in another part of the vision? They're at the altar. Okay? They're under the altar. It says, say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. See, God's not doing anything wrong. He's doing everything right. He's given us this word to warn us that this is happening and to be ready for it. And the only way you can be ready for it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To understand His sacrificial death on the cross, His burial and resurrection was for you. And He's asking you, He's offering eternal life. If you're just asking for forgiveness of sins, believe that He did it for you, and that He rose from the dead, and that He's God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
If you don't call them, the wrath of God abides on them right now. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you could possibly go into this with no hope. Because the judgment of God is relentless. It is total and it is final. Okay? So why? Because mankind has shed the blood of saints and prophets. This is a retribution for what has happened to the saints. So there's the third. So what's gone? The rivers, all the water sources are gone. Now, we've heard a lot about global warming. Since 1880, the temperature of the Earth, the average temperature of the Earth has gone up 0.8 degrees Celsius, according to NASA's Goddard Research Lab, about 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit. In the last couple of decades, two-thirds of that's happened, but only 0.25 degrees Celsius. But this is going to be global warming. This is warming on a global scale. See, God, in the Old Testament, He stopped the sun from going down when they were fighting the Amalekites. He made the sun go backwards to prove He's God. So God can do anything He wants to with His creation, can He? And this time, He's going to make the sun really, really hot. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to what? Scorch men with fire. Remember, the seas are all blood. The rivers are all blood. There is no water to drink. Oh, by the way, they still have the sores. They still have the sores. And men were scorched with great heat. And folks, this is not even as the temperature of hell. And men were scorched with great heat. And what did they do? They acknowledged God who He was? Nope. Even in their pain, even in sight of all these things, which the Antichrist and the beast and all and Satan cannot do, they still blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and repented not to give Him glory. Okay, you know, we talk about being hot. It says scorch men with, not with heat, it says with fire. With fire. And they still have the sores, and there's still blood everywhere, and there's no relief. Number five. As it got closer and closer in the plagues over Egypt to the death angel coming over and taking the firstborn, there was a plague of Egypt that basically put darkness over the land. And that darkness was so bad that it could be felt. I can't imagine that. It's so thick that it could be felt. That's what the Bible says about it. In Matthew chapter 7, cast them out in utter darkness, and there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I guarantee you there's gnashing of teeth right now because of the sores and no water and the intense heat. And it's just getting started. These that have received the mark of the beast worship the... They have no second chance. God's judgment. He, even before this started, He sent His angel across the entire world talking about the gospel. And they had a chance to repent, and they didn't do it. And they didn't do it. Verses 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon where? See, we see the temple in heaven, and it's got light, and it's got smoke, and it's got thunder, and it's got all sorts of things in there. Okay? We see the one on earth here in the seat of the beast, and now it says in total darkness. No, because that's what Satan is. So, Christ says that you could be either children of darkness or children of what? Light. Okay? There is no more light. There is no more light. Because it's upon all these that worship the Antichrist. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Remember, there's great heat, and there's sores, and there's blood. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Hey, they didn't repent after the sun thing when they saw a great light. They're not repenting now when they're in total darkness and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And that's why we know that these sores keep on going. Okay? And repented not of their deeds. How stubborn and how stiff-necked can man become? Wow. And they still repented not. The whole kingdom is plunged. His kingdom. Satan's kingdom is plunged into darkness. It's just a precursor of things to come. It's just a precursor of things to come. The Euphrates River runs about 1,700 miles from Mount Ararat in Turkey to the Persian Gulf. It is the source of what we studied in world history as the Fertile Crescent or the cradle of civilization. And that inside or about halfway down that thing is Babylon. Was where the city of Babylon was and the Babylonian Empire was. And all those empires that came out and conquered Israel first in the Old Testament came out of that area. And people are going to go against Israel again. And so in this thing, the Euphrates River is dried up. Well, probably from the heat, everything else. But it takes a lot to dry up a river. Verses 12 through 16. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. We've seen bad spirits come out of this river already. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Israel has always been attacked from the east. Okay? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of false prophet. So every one of these was the unholy trinity, but they're just three. They're not three in one. They all have the same evil thing inside of them. And the spirit comes out. And what is the spirit? What does this mean? What do these unclean spirits do? Well, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. So in spite of the sores that they have, in spite of the sea turning into this bloody jelly, in spite of the fresh water being turned into the same stuff, in spite of the intense heat, in spite of the darkness, the Antichrist and Satan and his agents are trying to hold on to their power as much as they can. And these frogs, which represent the spirit of them, go out to convince men that God hates them, follow Satan, I'm your hero, I'll get you out of this thing. And mankind believes. You know, I think we all would tend to believe a lie more than we would want to believe the truth. And today it's kind of interesting that people are just jumping all over lies to believe them and acting on them instead of the truth of God's word. is a sad, sad thing. Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. See, they think that they can still win. They have no control over what's happening. But they think they can still win. You can't win without God. To think that you can is a lie.
Right.
And then a message that Christ preached and told his disciples and told the crowds comes here. Behold, I come as a thief. Mm-hmm. Who's coming? Jeez. Who's coming? This isn't the Antichrist. This isn't the false prophet. This isn't Satan. This is Christ himself. Behold, I come as a thief. A thief comes when you're not expecting it. You think this is bad, world. I'm coming. I'm coming. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see him shame. And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. There's 200 million march on that. We've seen that. Okay? And so all, we talked about Babylon, and all evil or false religions come out of there. Everybody, and they're still going to attack Israel. We've already seen what happens in this battle. That for 185 miles, which is the length of those arrows, as long as the Kidron Valley is as wide as the Kidron Valley, that the blood of man slain will be 4 feet deep up to the horse's bridle. Rick did some math and said that just make one foot deep is about 60 million gallons. And a body has about a gallon of blood in it. That's 60 million people. And it's four. That's 240 million. That's probably not even close to what it is. But can you get the magnitude of God's judgment? It's relentless, and it's final, and it's total. Armageddon is the Hebrew word that's also translated Megiddo. Okay? That's the first six. But there's more. But there's more. The seventh vial is widespread destruction. There's a three-word message. On the cross, the last three words Christ said was, "It is finished. Redemption for mankind has been bought."
Amen.
With my life. Amen. There's another three words coming out of his. Verse 17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple," which we already identified as who? God. Temple of heaven, from the throne. There's no doubt who's saying this. Okay, anybody have a doubt? Think it's somebody else other than God? Saying, "It is done." You could expound on it. It's like it is really, 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 really done. Because God's judgment is relentless and final. So there's a three-word message. And this voice, God could be heard all over the earth on this one, I'm sure. There's a threefold wonder, verse 18. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And then things start to really go bad. If it wasn't bad enough for the sores, if it wasn't bad enough for the blood, if it wasn't bad enough for the heat, if it wasn't bad enough for the darkness, if it wasn't bad enough that these armies are all marching together onto Israel, this is what we studied in Zechariah chapter 14. Okay? There was a great earthquake, such as not. And just to understand how bad this earthquake is, such as was not since men were upon the earth. See, when God does something, it's going to be greater than anything ever imagined. So mighty an earthquake. If you didn't get the first one, if you didn't get the first description of it, it's the worst that mankind's ever seen. Then it goes on and says, it's so mighty an earthquake. If that doesn't get your attention, it says, and so great. So how big is this earthquake? Enough to shake the entire earth. Because God has poured His judgment out on it. We watch on the news when a place like Japan has an earthquake or something like that, and they take cameras and they show the shaking of the building, and you see people screaming. Can you imagine something? I would say almost infinitely stronger happening on the earth. There's a threefold consequence. In the great city, this is not Babylon, this is Jerusalem. Okay? This is Jerusalem. Remember, Christ is going to come back, He's going to set His feet on the Mount of Olives, and then what's going to happen? It's going to split. Okay? This is just a precursor to that. Okay, the topography of all of Jerusalem and everything is going to be totally different. But you know why? There's a new kingdom coming.
Amen.
There's a new king coming. And He's going to set up house in Jerusalem. And He's just clearing the land. He's going to make a place for the Millennium Temple to come down. He's going to make a place to rule. And He's going to clear, like, He's going to shake things up in a mighty way. In a mighty way. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance, not for good, but for wrath, before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And this is just not in Jerusalem. This is everywhere. In every island, fled away. You know, they talk about all these tectonic plates. If you go out to California, you know, you can see the San Andreas Fault, and you see rocks this way and rocks this way, and you drive up the thing and you go, wow. And just a little shift in the plates caused all sorts of big earthquakes. Everything's going to shake up. Because Christ is coming back. He's going to set everything up. And the mountains were what? Not found. Can you imagine Everest going away? Can you imagine the Rockies going away? I serve a mighty God who can do this. And it's not a hard thing for Him. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. A talent on the light side is 75 pounds. On the heavy side is 120 pounds. Most people think it's around 100 pounds. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay? And men, praise God. Men glorify God for who He is. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So what three things happen? All the cities are flattened. Jerusalem is divided up into three parts. The world's topography is just flattened. Flattened. And then if you thought that was bad, these hailstones come out and they flatten some more. So it's done. It's done. The largest recorded hailstone in the U.S. that's been captured was this that was found up in North Dakota, 8 inches in diameter, and it weighed 1.5 pounds. Here's my illustration. These hailstones are as in diameter as the diagonal of this trash can lid. Falling from heaven. Some people have done the math and said a sphere that big with the weight of that would have a terminal velocity of around 300 miles an hour. So you have a hailstone as big as a bicycle wheel or as big as a trash can lid, spherical, falling down on men. And if one of them hit you, you would be just like stepping on a grape. Remember the fierceness of the one, of fierceness of his wrath, the wine press? This is part of it right here. Can you understand the wrath of God when it's unleashed? I am so glad that those who know Christ won't go through that.
Amen.
While this is going on, we're having a marriage supper of the Lamb. We could sit here and we could focus on all the magnitude and the calamity and everything else here. But what we really need to focus on is that God's judgment is coming. And God's judgment is relentless and it's final. And no one in their right mind would say, I want to go through that. That sounds like a neat thing to do. It's to motivate people that, well, for those there going through it, I don't want to receive the mark of the beast. I don't want to go through this if they can find the Word of God, which they will. But for us, we need to be prepared. Christ is coming back. He's coming for us and to take us out of here before this happens. You have a choice. This or heaven. It would seem obvious to me. But mankind does some crazy things. And even in the midst of all this, they would still follow Satan and blaspheme God. Chapter 17 and 18 talk about the impact of this on Babylon, which we'll get into next week. But like I said, it kind of stands for itself. I am so glad that where judgment comes, there's mercy before. I'm glad that where judgment comes, there's still grace. I'm glad that God still loves us, even though He will pour His wrath on the earth at this time. Don't run out of God's mercy. Don't try to get away from God. Come to Him while there's time. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us to be right with You. And we'll give You all the glory and honor and praise because You and You alone deserve it and are worthy. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.